Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, it's the Army-Navy game. Army Black Knights go head-to-head with the Navy Midship, an American classic that dates all the way back to 1890. The Armchair Quarterbacks Radio Network will be there bringing you the action. Army-Navy, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every 5 purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of the Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, it's the Army-Navy game. Army Black.
Durham Braves country.
Good afternoon, Braves country. Jumping on a tad early today because I have got to talk to a couple of stations around the country that are wanting to talk Braves baseball. So I have to squeeze this in today. And when we made the arrangements, the person who made the arrangements for me did not realize we were doing these shows. So let's get into it. Let's dive into what is going on in Braves country as I try to get stationed here and get straightened out. You're listening on radio, or if you're listening on the app, we go live all this week. It'll be 4 o'clock is the plan, 4 o'clock Eastern. Today's just a tad early because of what I just mentioned. All right. If you got any questions, if you got any comments, good seeing you, Ken, in the Kenneth in the YouTube chat. Anyone else that that wants to chime in and maybe just want to give their 2 cents about something? Well, I'm all ears. Got a lot of stuff to get into. We are flying today. I mean, there is so much stuff that we have to get into, and one of the things that I heard brought up, and this has been a constant thing that has been brought up in years past, is the idea that they need to change Major League Baseball with their offseason. And I kind of agree. I just don't know if there's an answer. If there's an answer that the players' union would ever agree to. And listen to the argument before you scoff at it, but the argument that's being presented by a lot of folks in Major League Baseball, and when I say Major League Baseball, I'm talking about the people that are in media, is that we get to these winter meetings in Nashville, and Shohei Ohtani's dragging his feet. He has not made his decision, and because of that, look, he's earned the right to do that. Don't get me wrong on that. But because of that, everybody's kind of sitting in limbo and waiting for the big shoe to drop, which is where does Shohei Ohtani sign? And then once that happens, you're going to get a lot of the other big name free agents. They'll start rolling in every few days, every few hours. And you wouldn't think that you would have to wait for that, but you do. It's just the truth of the matter. It's the way it is. It's the way it's always been, where the big, and this is all sports, but when the big fish is still out there, a lot of your other guys are being held up. Not necessarily that they don't want to sign, it's that the other teams that think of it this way. If you are the Braves organization, if you are the Dodgers organization, if you are, what are the other teams that he's been linked to? Toronto, San Francisco, any of them. If you have a plan B, and they all have a plan B, why the hell wouldn't they, right? You don't go in just saying, well, it's Ohtani or bust. But if you have a plan B, you're not pivoting to that plan B until plan A falls flat. And so they have to sit back and wait and go, all right, let's figure out what this, where he's going to go. And of course, it's being added onto the fact that, A, he's such a unique player, that when he is finally 100% healthy, he's going to be able to help not only your batting, but your pitching. So that takes it to another level. He's an international superstar. So as far as selling jerseys and everything else on the planet related to him, that adds to it. And the fact that he is still in his prime, he's not an aging star. He's not an unproven, unknown commodity like a Yamamoto, although I think Yamamoto is going to be phenomenal. He's not unknown. Everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows what he can do. So with that being said, we're all waiting for that shoe to drop. Now, if you did not hear the news, and it's been circulating this morning, so you may have, but if you did not hear the news, Shohei Ohtani, and they're denying it, but too many people have said that they believe it to be true, too many eyewitness accounts. Shohei Ohtani was in Dunedin, Florida yesterday meeting with the Toronto Blue Jays organization. And why is that a big deal? It's because the Toronto Blue Jays organization is showing off what they have down there in their spring training facility. And evidently, they've got one of the state-of-the-art spring training and rehab facilities that there is. Now, we all know that the Braves are no slouch when it comes to this, but they're showing off what he can be a part of. And so, with that being said, they're just trying to show him, hey, you're going to be rehabbing, you're going to be wanting to get healthy, this is what you're going to have at your disposal. So, of course, no one's going to admit to that because of the thing that we heard last week that said that anybody that leaks information, Ohtani's camp is going to hold it against him. Now, it's kind of silly, and it's really immature to say things like that because the information's out there. They're going to leak it. It's not necessarily going to be the teams themselves, but the writers, everybody around the facilities. They see Ohtani or they see his crew, they're going to start tweeting it. It's how they get their clicks. So with that being said, that's where he was at. He wasn't in Nashville where all the general managers were. He was down in Dunedin, Florida, making all his rounds. And the idea right now, or what the speculation is that we may not get an Ohtani signing until the earliest would be late next week. And if that happens, it's going to drag everything out. And it's a shame because when you talk about Major League Baseball and their offseason, you're talking about waiting for this. This is usually one of the bigger markers of the entire offseason. You get to the winter meetings. There's usually several big deals that happen, but we haven't had one yet. And remember, this year, it ends tomorrow. They'll be packing up and moving out and technically still being in the Nashville area Thursday, but it ends tomorrow. Now, what do you have tonight going on that is of significance? Well, you've got the 2004 draft order will be announced tonight. They're going to do the drawing for it. If you're wanting to know the teams, and this is in the order of percentages, I'm not going to go into all the percentages, but top to bottom, who has the best chance and who has the worst chance of landing the number one pick in the Major League Baseball draft for 2024. It starts off, highest rate of chance is the Oakland A's. Then you go Kansas City, the Rockies, the White Sox, St. Louis, Angels, Mets, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit, Red Sox, Giants, Cincinnati, San Diego, and the New York Yankees. Finished up by Chicago and Seattle. So those are the teams that have an opportunity to get the number one draft pick. That's going to be announced tonight. You got the Rule 5 draft tomorrow, and that's going to be huge. We talked about this yesterday, but one of the main reasons why it's going to be so big is because the Rule 5 draft, once players start getting plucked and your 40-man roster gets manipulated, then you can kind of make an eye, you know, get an idea of what you have left on your 40-man roster, what do you need, and what do other teams have the ability to trade to you. So those are two key things that are going to take place. By the way, while we're at it, congratulations, Jim Leland. He was announced into the Hall of Fame off of the Veterans Committee. It's a shame Lou Piniella missed by one vote. But Jim Leland gets in, well-deserved. Piniella will get in. It's a little ridiculous. It really would have been cool, would it not, to see Leland and Piniella on the same year, just two iconic managers. If you grew up watching baseball in the 1990s to early 2000s, in that era, all the way through the we'll say just over a decade into the 2000s. Jim Leland, Lou Piniella, they were on the front line. They were guys that everybody resonates and thinks of. When you think of base, Major League Baseball in that era, in that time period, it's impossible not to think of Lou Piniella chucking a base out there, kicking dirt on the umpires. It's impossible not thinking about Jim Leland and the success he had. And remember, he was the last manager to smoke cigarettes in the dugout. The last one. So congratulations to Jim. Hopefully Lou gets in. Whether you're a fan of Lou Piniella or not, it's well deserved once he gets in. Other things going on. So everyone is basically trying, everyone in the Braves media has been basically dismantling any kind of rumor about Ohtani. And the gist of it is this, and this is the same thing we've all kind of talked about, what we've kind of, you know, leaned towards all offseason. Yes, the Braves are kicking the tires on Ohtani. And yes, they are thinking about what kind of commitment they're willing to make. But Mark Bowman of MLB.com said this: the interest in Ohtani is there, but it is overstated by many. And so what you can take from that is, if they have an opportunity, they want to sign him. But whether or not they're going to go above and beyond like some of these other teams, and we all know the big players. Toronto evidently has moved to the front of the line. The Dodgers, Giants, they're all involved. They have said that the Cubs, it appears the Cubs no longer believe that they have much of a chance. I never really thought he was a major, the Cubs were major players in Ohtani, but I did give them an outside chance because of the fact that the Cubs, you know, it's an iconic franchise, great fan base. The drawback is you have to live in Chicago. But looking at the whole picture, I'm still going to say this. I still believe the Dodgers are number one with the bullet. It's starting to look like that the Toronto Blue Jays have a very realistic chance of making the move. And it's been, I heard an interview with their general manager today for the Toronto Blue Jays, and he didn't deny it. He was asked, if you don't get Ohtani, are you going aggressively towards Juan Soto? Because it's been heavily rumored. It sounds like that could be in play as well. Let me see here. We got a couple of things that have happened here recently. Jose Iglesias has signed a minor league contract with the Mets, and the Texas Rangers have signed one Kirby Yates. So we wish Kirby well. Look, I hated to see Kirby go, but I understand why. They're trying to get more strikeout type of arms, and I don't see a number here yet, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of all that's being reported. It's pending a physical. Ken Rosenthal is the one that broke the news. It's pending a physical. Kirby Yates in agreement with the Rangers on a 1-year contract. So the Rangers pluck the Braves bullpen once again. But I don't think this is a big loss for the Braves when you consider the fact the route they're going. I think you're more likely to see Kirby Yates is a guy that I still think is very serviceable for a contender. They can go in, he can get you good innings in the middle part of your bullpen. But where the Braves are going with their bullpen, I do believe when you read the tea leaves, Atlanta is trying to have that elite bullpen, meaning every guy coming out of that pen, swing and miss stuff, lights out, and be able to step on someone's neck when they get a lead and not let them get back in it.
But I do, with all that being said, I think it's a good signing by Texas, and especially if they got him on a good deal. Because I'm sure Kirby Yates, over the last couple of years of playing for the Atlanta Braves, he likes the idea of playing for a contender, and obviously he goes there to the World Series champion, Texas Rangers. Let me see if we've got anything else going on here. I want to double check real quick, make sure nothing's broken since I've... let me see. Jeff Passan has announced that the Rays have signed a one-year deal with Chris Devensky. General manager Perry Minajian of the Angels, I guess he was in an interview recently today, and says they won't trade Mike Trout. That doesn't surprise anybody. I don't even know why that's even buzzworthy, but it is out there. Otani, if you're just joining us, Otani met with the Blue Jays yesterday. So we dig into that, and we talk about what are the Braves looking at doing. And the Atlanta Braves, they made their big trade on Sunday night. But from all reports, they're not done just with that part of the piece. I heard an interview with Snicker today. It was pretty interesting. He was dancing around the subject. But you could tell that Brian Snicker sounded married to the Jared Kelenic move. Meaning, he was talking about can't wait to get him into spring training, blah, 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 can't wait to see what he does. So it lends me to believe that, though it has been rumored that he could be a part of another move, that the Braves are going to have Kelenic in their lineup in the spring. Just if you just listen to the way Snicker presented it today, he didn't sound like he was on the fence on whether or not they brought him in to be a part of the team or not. But when they asked Brian Snicker about Marco Gonzalez, he gave a very professional answer. You know he's been coached, but he said, right now we welcome him to a part of the mix, and we'll have to see where we are in the spring. What does that tell you? That tells you he's had a conversation with Anthopoulos and company, and they've said, hey, don't get used to the idea that this man's going to be in your rotation. He's going to be on the move. The other thing, I don't believe we brought this up yesterday. Bad job by me, but I did want to bring it up because I did hear it yesterday that I heard it reiterated again. Mookie Betts, the plan for the Dodgers this year, Mookie Betts will be playing second base this year. He's not going to be in the outfield, and what does that mean? Well, if you remember earlier in the offseason, I guess it was about a week or so ago, the Dodgers re-signed Jason Hayward to a one-year deal, which means they're going to be looking to find someone who can play right field and platoon against lefties. I'll tell you a guy that I've got in mind for it that I think would actually be a really good fit. I hate to see him go there because I really got to be a fan of his this past year. But Kevin Pillar seems like a slam dunk shoe-in to be in that position. Now, Pillar may not want to go to the Dodgers because he may want to be an everyday player. But I don't know if that's where Pillar is in his career right now. But just we will keep an eye on that. If you're saying... And I thought it was a little odd that he would just come straight out and tell everybody, that's our second baseman. Because you kind of pigeonhole yourself when you start talking about going after free agents and selling them on the idea of coming to your team. Also, why let the cat out of the bag? Why not say, well, we'll see where we are in spring training. But regardless, he's come straight out and said, Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, said, that is our second baseman. So, with him being second base, Lux is assumed to be the shortstop. He'll be ready. He'll be healthy. Along with Freddie Freeman. That part of the infield is set. They're going to be looking to add to the outfield. One of the ways they can do that is with Shohei Ohtani. Now, I don't know if anybody's going to be willing to take Shohei Ohtani out of the designated hitter role, because remember, he's going to be coming off of the surgery, and you may not want to put his arm in danger. All right, moving on from that. The Philadelphia Phillies, they extended Thompson, their manager, through the 2025 season. And A.J. Hinch of the Tigers, he gets extended through 2026. There are reports that say that Arizona is in deep talks to land an actual DH. So Arizona, much like a lot of teams that aren't considered great offensive teams and true contenders going into last season, obviously a lot of that changes with Arizona making the World Series. But they typically, with their designated hitter, it was a revolving door. And it looks like now they're looking to add someone who will be an everyday DH as opposed to just shuffling the deck and seeing who you want to give a day off to. So that opens up Arizona to a lot of possibilities. And from the interview that I heard from the general manager, it makes it sound like that they're willing to spend. And that's kind of big news when you start talking about that franchise spending money on a designated hitter. The Mariners have inquired about Randy Arozarena from the Tampa Bay Rays and Isaac Paredes. So we know the Mariners just moved Gonzalez, Kalenic, Evan White, moved a lot of money, and now it looks like they did it to be able to bring in other pieces. We got a comment here or a question. Will they be willing to spend but let Gurriel go? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like that they're going after someone other than Gurriel. Now, they could realistically bring Gurriel back and just make him a designated hitter, but it made it sound like one of the things that I heard is that they're looking to possibly add some left-handed pop to their lineup. So we'll definitely keep an eye on the Diamondbacks and what they're doing there. Another big thing, and look, this could be a trade partner. He's not left-handed, but man, would he be a good designated hitting piece for Arizona. And if the Braves hadn't just made the move for Kalenic, you'd be like, well, maybe we'd be involved. The St. Louis Cardinals general manager specifically named Tyler O'Neill as someone they were shopping. So, and the reason why this is a big deal, if you can just understand the way the conversation went, he's being interviewed on MLB Radio, and they are asking him about possible moves that could be made in the offseason, blah, blah, blah. And typically a general manager will give you a very bland, vanilla answer and say, well, we've got four outfielders. We obviously have a surplus. We could be moving one. He specifically named Tyler O'Neill. So that's going to be an interesting piece if Tyler O'Neill gets moved, wherever Tyler O'Neill gets moved, because it sounds like he's being shot pretty heavy at the winter meetings right now. Because Tyler O'Neill, I've always felt like his ceiling is extremely high. And one of the things that has hurt him over the years is he's been in and out of the lineup because they have got a log jam. And so they're wanting to basically get rid of O'Neill, build up. There's a couple of different ways that they're wanting to go. The main thing that I heard is that they're trying to get some bullpen depth and maybe even a starting pitching prospect. Maybe not someone who's ready to roll right now, but someone who'd be ready to contribute in either later this year or in 2025. So the Tyler O'Neill thing to me is huge. Jordan Montgomery, he's still out there on the market. Remember something about Montgomery. He is a Scott Boras client. They're going to wait. I guarantee you they're going to wait until Shohei Ohtani signs. Unless someone backs the truck up. But it doesn't sound like anyone's backing the truck up until Ohtani gets signed. But Montgomery being a Scott Boras client, him and Blake Snell once you get past Ohtani, are the real two big fish out there on the pitching market. So we keep an eye on that. We also learned today that Seth Lugo is being heavily pursued by the Boston Red Sox. Now, I saw an article today, and forgive me, I don't remember who released it, but they were talking about how the Braves were also kicking the tires on Seth Lugo, but no one believed that it was a great fit. I kind of disagree with that. Seth Lugo will go out there and give you 5-6 strong innings. Seth Lugo may not cost an arm and a leg, and Seth Lugo is a damn good starting pitcher right now. It's taken him a while. He's not the same Seth Lugo he was 5-6 years ago where he was clucking around in the Mets bullpen. He went out there to San Diego this year and had a good season. I don't even understand how the San Diego Padres didn't have a good year. They had so many good players that had good seasons, but they never put it together. One of the numbers I heard today, they were 2-12 in extra innings. And the argument was if they just would have won half of those 12 losses, they would have qualified for a wild card. But Lugo, depending on what he's looking for, I believe he's 34. So anyone that gets Lugo, it's going to be very comparable to a Sonny Gray deal where you're going to be talking about probably not Sonny Gray money, but Sonny Gray length. So we're talking about 3 years. I don't think he gets 25 a year. I think he's probably more between the 15 to 17 range. Iglesias to the Mets. That's not blockbuster. It's not going to floor you, but the Mets are adding in the Mets. And everything that I'm hearing about the Mets, the thing that I'm reading about the Mets is the same thing that we've been talking about for the last few months. They appear to, their number one priority is not Ohtani. It's not Blake Snell. It's not even Jordan Montgomery. It is Yamamoto. So that right there is going to be a big deal. If you missed it, Ben Heller signed a one-year deal. It was a minor league deal with the Pittsburgh Pirates. So keep an eye on that. And let's see, there was a couple other things that were up there. The Red Sox and the Rays announced, I thought this was interesting. It's a spring training game, but it's still pretty cool for folks down there. The Red Sox and Rays, March 9th and March 10th of this coming spring, they are heading to the Dominican Republic, and they will play a couple of exhibition games. So, it's not groundbreaking news for anything. It's not even a regular season game. But I thought it was pretty cool considering how popular Major League Baseball is. Here's an interesting tidbit. This one, to me, gets your antennas up. This could be one of the big fish that gets fried this week. And he just says, to hell with it, I'm not waiting on Ohtani. E-Rod, Eduardo Rodriguez, right now as we speak, is in Nashville, Tennessee. And he is meeting with all the clubs. And I'm telling you, when players do this, I really don't know why more of them don't do it. I heard that Jay Jackson was there this morning. He was being interviewed by Radio Row. But when you go to these meetings and you decide, hey, I'm going to stick my hat in the ring, I want to go in here and meet some guys, you give the general managers an opportunity to meet you. And they're no longer just looking at your numbers. They are then getting to meet you, the person, and not just figure out, does your talent fit for them, but what are you going to be like in their locker room? So E-Rod going to Nashville, that one surprised me because he was so standoffish on the possibility of a trade at the trading deadline. It kind of made him come off as a guy who didn't really give a damn about winning. Maybe that's why he is where he is. Maybe that's why he's in Nashville now, to kind of change that narrative. Also found it interesting that Kalanick, after he was traded by the Mariners, he gave a heartfelt thank you to the fans. Everybody he thanked except for anyone involved in the front office of Seattle. So there's some bad blood there. Now, I'm hoping this is not indicative of who he is as a person, and we get him in Atlanta and regret him being in our clubhouse. But it's something to be noticed, something to keep an eye on. I'm not going to hold it against him, but I am going to be going, uh-oh. We don't have an Antonio Brown situation here, do we? We know some guy's just going to go bonkers, take his jersey off, and start running around the field. We talked about Mets and Yamamoto. John Heyman of MLB is reporting that though the Mets are in on Yamamoto and they have he's become their number one priority, their backup plan is Blake Snell. I'm a little surprised to hear Blake Snell, because I believe that the Mets are, if you just go by what you heard at the deadline, and if you go by with what was said during the introduction of the new manager, the new general manager for the New York Mets, they never said they were tearing the whole damn thing down and giving up on 2024. But it felt like what they were doing was saying, we are going to build for the future, and that's why Yamamoto fits so well with them. Blake Snell does not really fit that mold. Blake, if you sign Blake Snell, you got to be in a win now mode, because his peak is, we're in the middle of Blake Snell's peak. This year, he wins the Cy Young. Next season, you got to figure he's still going to be right in that neighborhood of putting out those kind of numbers. And even the next year. But Blake Snell's in his early 30s. So I found that interesting, but that is according to John Heyman. He's normally pretty good on this stuff, although we do know he's had a couple of gaffes. But hey, they all do, and I would never hold that against any guy who's out there chasing down stories and trying to bring you the latest news. There's going to be mistakes here and there. So I'm never going to question these guys, because they're not even held to baseball standards. What's the old adage? If you're successful 3 out of 10 times, you go to the Hall of Fame. When it comes to these baseball writers, if they aren't correct with what they say 99 times out of 100, people act like the sky's falling. There's going to be gaffes made, but all in all, Heyman's usually... The thing about Heyman and a couple of these other guys, they've got their ear to the ground. They've built relationships with these general managers and other folks. You can usually trust the fact that if they tweet something out, it may not be 100% going to happen, but it's usually coming from something that they have verified. Usually. Not always, but usually. Snicker on Anthopoulos saying that any... Now, this was an interview for Snicker today. He was commenting that Anthopoulos saying that any young Braves who signed long extension before the free agency won't be traded. His reaction was this, quote, "I think that was probably as much for those guys to hear that than anything else. It's a quality group of guys. That's pretty much a good core to build around and to have. So like I say, it's probably more beneficial for those individual players to hear that, because it's a business, things happen, and it was nice for Alex to say that." I agree. What Alex Anthopoulos was essentially saying was he was basically telling people to pipe down, because there were some reports coming out. They were talking some crazy things. I've seen over the last few weeks where there, you know, some of these clickbait rags that just trying to get you to click on something because you go, wait, what? Braves are going to trade who? And there were rumors out there about Michael Harris being involved in trades, Ozzie Albies. Those were the top two. It doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense, first of all, for Ozzie Albies to get traded. He's making peanuts compared to what he's worth. And he'll continue to do so for the next 4 years unless he goes back to the table and says, hey, I want a little more money. Can I get a little love here? And maybe there's something that can work out. So I agree with that mindset that what Snicker was essentially saying was, he's not making that statement because he feels like he has to. He's making that statement so that all these guys sitting in the offseason, they don't see some article with their name on it. And it happens with these players. They're human. They're scrolling through Twitter. They're scrolling through X. They're scrolling through, you know, Facebook or, you know, Instagram or whatever. And they see the clickbait. And they go, man, what the hell is this? Why am I being traded? That's really an easier way for Alex to go out there and just say, hey, I stand by these guys. We're going to build around these guys. Than for him to have Zoom meetings with every single one of them every time something nutty comes up. Once again, real quick, if you haven't seen it, Kirby Yates to the Rangers, 1 year deal. The Mets signed Jose Iglesias to a minor league contract. So once again, it's not groundbreaking, but it is a minor league contract with the opportunity to go and make the big club. Also, right-handed reliever Chris Devensky has signed with the Tampa Bay Rays. It looks like it's a one-year deal, but there is a club option, according to Jeff Passan. Other things going on right now. You've got, I think I already mentioned Ben Heller was signed by the Pirates. I like Heller. I understand that he's not really in our long-term plans, so I get that, but I hope he gets out there on the big league level and does well, because first of all, I enjoyed a lot of the interviews with Heller this year, but also he's just got fun stuff to watch when he's on, but when he's off. MLB lottery is tonight. They are going to make the drawing for that at 5:30 Eastern. It's one of the reasons why we popped on a tad early today, because I have to be on a couple of different stations around Braves country. I'm going to drop in and say hi, and one of the stations is wanting an instant reaction to the lottery. So that's the reason for that. Let me see if we got anything else that has come in. The Devensky. I still think one of the biggest things that has been talked about in the last couple of days, it's not just the Tyler O'Neill thing. And I think that the Tyler O'Neill thing is huge. The fact that they're admitting Tyler O'Neill is on the trade block, I mean, that really came out of left field as far as what the hell? You're announcing that the guy's on the trade block? You almost wonder if there's some bad blood between him and the general manager. But that and the fact that they have came out and said the Dodgers have, that Mookie Betts will be their second baseman. Didn't leave it up in the air. He didn't say he could play right field. He could do that. He will be their second baseman in 2024. What is this next question? What's the update on Dylan Cease? Dylan Cease. So the rumor on that is, with Dylan Cease, is that one of the reasons why the Braves brought in Marco Gonzalez in that trade from Seattle is that Dylan Cease would work well in the White Sox plans because if you lose Dylan Cease, you got to have someone eat those innings. And the fact that they are saying immediately, I mean, it was within like 2 or 3 hours of the Braves completing that trade. Well, it was the next morning, but 2 or 3 hours, business hours. The Ken Rosenthal said that Marco Gonzalez is not expected to be a part of the Braves' plans. And why is that? The Braves are continuing to have talks And it seems like they're pretty serious talks with the White Sox and Dylan Cease. Remember, Dylan Cease didn't have a great year this past year, but he's just a year removed from being one of the best pitchers in the American League. Now, he has had some issues with walking batters, but most believe a change of scenery. And that was a very toxic locker room there with the Chicago White Sox this year. But a lot of folks believe that just a little bit of guidance and a better pitching staff, a better pitching coach, and not to mention if you're part of a better pitching rotation, they believe that Dylan Cease could be that guy. And the more and more that we're hearing about Dylan Cease, it's sounding more and more like the Atlanta Braves are the front runners for his services. Now, the Dodgers are still involved. There's a couple other teams still involved. But one of the things that's holding this whole damn thing up is Shohei Ohtani. And the reason why I say that is this. The Dodgers are not putting together anything serious for a Dylan Cease yet until they find out about Ohtani. So if they get Ohtani, it opens up the possibility that the Braves could be bringing in Cease. And Cease, if you can get Cease, now remember, we'd still have him for 2 years. If you get Cease in right now, you have him for 24 and 25. The one drawback from Cease, because normally when the Braves make these trades, they want to bring in a guy that they can immediately extend. The problem with Dylan Cease is he is a Scott Boras client, and typically Boras wants to take all his guys to free agency. Now, I'm not saying that's 1,000% going to happen, that he's not willing to extend, but typically Scott Boras wants to take, and he advises his clients, do not sign a club-friendly deal. It's your job to reset the market, and do not sign early, because when you get to free agency, you no longer are negotiating with one team. You are then pitting teams against each other. And look, that's just the way of the sports contract world. But if they could bring in Cease, they are probably, it's not just going to be Marco Gonzalez. They're going to have to give up one of their top chips. Whether or not they're willing to do that with A.J. Smith-Shawver, him and Waldrop have been the two heaviest rumored. And so if you're the White Sox and you make that trade, you would bring Marco Gonzalez over to eat innings for 2024 as you rebuild, and then you would try to develop and get an A.J. Smith-Shawver or Hurston Waldrop, whoever it ends up being. Because I don't believe they'll both be a part of it. They're not both going to be a part of it. I've seen some rumors where folks are talking about both pitchers. You're not going to send both. You can't totally deplete your system. The Ozuna, Ozuna's not likely to be moved unless Shohei Ohtani is heading to Atlanta. That would be the number one. Remember, they've got Ozuna down for this year. They've also got a club option for the following season. And considering the season he just had with 40 home runs and 100 RBI, that's pretty good bargaining chip. Vaughn Grissom is being expected right now to be in the outfield with Kelenic, but I do agree that if there's a move made for a guy like Dylan Cease, Vaughn Grissom's probably the guy we're going to have to go. Man, what could have been? Good luck, buddy. But sometimes there's no way you're going to make a trade for a guy like Dylan Cease and not give up something that's going to hurt. There's going to be something in that trade, at least from the jump, that us as fans are going to go, man, that's a rough one to lose. I go back to the Sean Murphy trade when they gave up Contreras. I was a big Contreras fan. I also believed that it was the right thing to do, that Murphy was much better behind the plate, and you never know how Contreras is going to develop as a hitter. Same thing when we sent Shea Langeliers on the deal for Olsen. I was a big Langeliers fan, but once again, you got to give up something to get something. And there's probably a very good possibility that the Braves end up having to part ways with Vaughn Grissom. It may be the best thing in the world for Vaughn Grissom, because right now we're going to try to squeeze him into left field. Right now it's being looked at that he's probably going to be platooning left field with Kalenic. And I love that idea, but at the same token, what's best for Vaughn Grissom and what's best for the Atlanta Braves? Having him out there maybe playing 75 games this year, or having a guy like Dylan Cease or Tyler Glasnow. You know, we haven't talked about him much today, but the rumors are still flying that the Braves are very heavily in on Tyler Glasnow. And if I have my druthers, I want Glasnow. His stuff is the best there is out there. Tyler Glasnow, when healthy, is the best pitcher available right now on the market, trade or free agency. His stuff is better than Blake Snell, but the key word to that is when healthy, because that dude is not healthy most of the time. Most of the time, he is on the IL, coming back, rehabbing, et cetera, et cetera. And the problem with Glasnow, he's a free agent at the end of next year, so you're only going to get his services for 1 year. The advantage to that would be you may not have to give up as much. So if you don't have to give up as much and you think you can develop a guy like Shauver to take over by the following season, maybe that is the move you make. But Glasnow is going to be an expensive piece if you bring him in, because he's owed $25 million this year. He's going to be a free agent, and you're going to have to give up something. That being said, the Tampa Bay Rays don't hold all the cards, because they can't take him to opening day. They are currently $46 million above what their typical salary is. Typically, they are sitting at $83 million, and right now it's at $120 million. If opening day was tomorrow morning, it's $129 million. That's a big difference for a market that does not draw well and has a terrible television deal. So those are the main two that I would keep an eye on. But they are in on, and the one idea that I'll leave you with, and we will be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock. There have been more and more reports recently, last 48 hours, 36, 48 hours, that the Braves are actually heavy in on the idea of bringing Yamamoto, because they like the idea that you could bring him in at a young age and not lose prospects, and could possibly, once you get past the posting fee, which is the part that's going to hurt, after that, very friendly contract. The problem is this year, the posting fee goes against your overall number, so you're going to pay through the nose on a tax on that. But once you get past this season, they could be in on. I don't think they'll get Yamamoto, but I found it interesting that I heard three different outlets, four different writers who were at the winter meetings that contest that the Braves are not only just in on Ohtani, which a lot of us have heard about, but that the Yamamoto thing is real. They still believe that the Mets are the ones who are going to be the team to beat, because when it comes to the posting fee, they could just push all their chips in and say we're not going to be outbid, but that the Braves are extremely interested in that. All right, we'll leave you with that. Y'all have a great day. Thanks for tuning in. Please subscribe and hit the like button. We will be back tomorrow. Winter meetings keep rolling, and we'll keep rolling with you all week long. Y'all have a great day. Go Braves, baby. Man, wouldn't it be great to land an Ohtani or Yamamoto? I'd love to have Yamamoto. 25 years old, unhittable. Sign up for like a 6-year deal. Let's get it.